If you'd like to turn to Luke chapter 1, the scripture actually is verses 30 and 31 is where the emphasis will be, but I'm going to actually start with verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. As we go there, I'd like to mention a couple things to you. First of all, our theme for 2013 is under construction. That came to me back in probably September, October, as I was driving through Bloomington. And I thought, yeah. And then all of a sudden it's like, what a great theme for a church is under construction. And I don't mean a building under construction, but our lives are under construction. And the first 2 months are beliefs under construction. And we've had a number of folks ask if we're going to have some small groups again. So what we're going to do is there is a sign-up sheet on the back table back there. We're going to have small groups again. They're going to meet every other week. So they'll start the 13th because this series will start on the 6th. And they will include both of those sermons. I'll be writing questions and a kind of a study guide for each one of the small groups to meet. So if you would like to be in a small group, you would like to lead a small group, feel free to put your name on the paper over there, and we'll get the questions to you. So it'll be every other week, so it'll be the 13th of January, the 27th of January, until the end of February, which will be the series. And we're going to talk about beliefs under construction. So if you'd like to do that, please feel free to sign up on the sheet back there. We'll let you know more as we get closer. We have a couple prayer requests. First of all, Alan had surgery Thursday, and he is at home. He called me last night to let me know he was home, and I said, "How are you feeling?" He said, "Well, like someone is stepping on my back," and because he had back surgery. He says, "But I don't have any pain in my leg." I said, "Well, you can put up with the stepping on the back for a while as long as there's no pain in the leg." He said, "Most definitely." So he wanted to thank everybody for their prayers and ask that we continue to praying for him. BV is not able to be here today. Mike's mother is being moved to a nursing home, and she's not very well. And Ruby had surgery this past Thursday as well, and she asked prayer for Mike's mom and for Ruby. And, of course, we cannot forget the family and the children and the kids in Newtown, Connecticut. We cannot forget them. The tragedy, and, you know, it's... It kind of puts us and makes us a little bit speechless. And so be praying for those families that are directly affected by that as well. Well, let's start with verse 26. The only hope for this world is going to be found in this passage. Verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said to her, or answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." And I also failed to mention that Jonathan had... check up. He's going to have to help me out with this. He's going to have to...
They're going to take the tube out of his tear duct and go in and clean out the sinus passage and put a tube in his nasal passage. And if that doesn't work, they're going to completely make him
a tear duct. Okay, there. A lot better than I could have said it. So we need to be praying for Jonathan as well. Well, let's join... Would you join me in prayer, please? Father, we thank you that the Messiah has come. And he... is worthy of our praise and worthy of our worship. Tragically, there are so many in this country and around the world who either do not believe that he has come or have total disregard for him. And Father, I know that as we look at the tragedy of this past week and around the world, not just here in Connecticut, but around the world in China and elsewhere, it looks like there is just, it's so hopeless, and there is no, the song, you know, "Where is the peace on earth," I said, just kind of rings in our heart. But that song also says, "God is not dead, nor does he sleep." And we know, Father, that you are on the throne. We know that you are in control. We don't always understand what is happening, but we know that you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we have to trust you. Father, may incidents like this not push us away from you, but drive us to you. May this country experience a spiritual revival of people who realize that we have left you out and that we are drawn to you. I also thank you that Alan came through his surgery, and I thank you that they are got a plan of attack or a plan of dealing with Jonathan's eye problem. And we pray for BV's mother-in-law and for Ruby and so many others, for the mothers in this room who are expecting children. And what how much it heightens during this time of the year to know that they are carrying a child as well. Thank you, Father, for this time together, for the opportunity to study your word, to honor you and to lift you up and to glorify you. And Father, as we study this passage and we study this name of Jesus, help us to grasp its importance and to realize that it's not just a common name, but it's the name above all names. And Lord, speak to our hearts this morning. Help us to see Jesus and Jesus only. It's in his name I pray. Amen. Many of you are old enough to remember a really stupid song from back in the 60s and 70s called The Name Game. It was spelled D-U-M-B. That is one of the stupidest songs that I've ever heard in my entire life. And it's one of those songs that someone thought, I'm going to sit down and write a stupid song, you know? I don't even want to get into the vulgarity that can happen with the wrong name that's chosen. It was just one of those songs that we just as soon say it's worthless, let's forget about it. Parents spend a lot of time sometimes choosing their children's names. Some of them really go to great extremes, especially Hollywood. I mean, I don't know about you, but would you like to go through life with a name like Rumor or Scout or Suri? Or here's one. It's a movie clip. And are you ready, Ryan? Okay, watch this one. It's about 30 seconds long. Maybe. There it is. Maybe.
What did you find, Junior?
Junior? Dad?
Please, what does it always mean? This Junior?
That's his name. Henry Jones Junior.
Like Indiana.
We named the dog Indiana.
May we go home now, please?
The dog? You are named after the dog?
Got a lot of fond memories of that dog. Ready?
Ready?
Indy, Henry, follow me. I know the way.
Ha! Named after a dog. Go named Boston, after a dog. Museum, huh? Uh-huh. We can, yeah, okay. My name used to be a popular name. I looked at the 2012 census of baby names. My name did not even reach the top 40. So that must mean that I am really unimportant. You know, when my mom and dad had me, they named me William. They named me Bill. they did not take time to figure out what it meant. My name means resolute protector. But it did not mean anything to them because, you see, I was named after my father. And after the first son died, before I was born, they named me William because they expected me to carry on his name. I don't think my girls would appreciate William in their name, you know. So the name dies, and I prefer to die with me as well. I wish, though, that they had given me a different middle name. It's really tough when your initials are W-A-G or B-A-G, you know. That's not something I'm going to monogram, you know, on my sweater, you know, bag or wag. All lightheartedness aside, in Bible days, they took care choosing names for their children. Because you see, when a parent chose a name for their child in Bible days, it was to them all their hopes and dreams wrapped up in their child. They dreamed that whatever name they gave their child, it would come true. Now, last week, we talked about the name of Jesus of Emmanuel, which means God with us. Today, we're going to talk about probably the most common name of our Savior that we ever use. And sometimes I'm afraid that because of its commonality that we lose sight of its importance. The name, as you probably guessed, was the name Jesus. And so we're going to take a look at this name, Jesus, and hopefully, when we're done, you'll be able to say, I know what's in that name. First of all, I want you to see that it is a name that is rich with meaning. I want to get your involvement here. What are some of the names, as you read the Bible, what are some of the names given to Jesus? Just kind of spout them out to me. What are some of the names given to Jesus? Savior. Master. Messiah. Emmanuel. Emmanuel. The Great Shepherd, Son of God, Lamb of God, Light of the World, the Resurrection and Life, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, Alpha and Omega, Beginning and the End, the First and the Last, and name after name after name after name. And some of those kind of, how can I put this? I don't want this to sound bad, but some of those are kind of a lofty sounding name. They kind of put him up on another level, I guess you can say. It's kind of a name that we look up to. But the name Jesus is just kind of a common name. I like what Max Lucado once said. He said, trying to capture the grandeur of the name of Jesus with words is like hearing the Salvation Army band playing Handel's Messiah. Nice try, but it doesn't work. Trying to describe the grandeur and the majesty of our Savior, you will find yourself falling short with the right words. But there is a name that fits him like a glove. There is a name that fits him like Cinderella's shoe fit her foot. That name is Jesus. Now, as you go through the scriptures, and you can see in verse 31 here, the angel tells Mary, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. It's rich in meaning. If you were to look in the scriptures, the name Jesus is the Greek equivalent to the Hebrew name Joshua, which means, here it is, Jehovah saves. Can there be any name more rich in meaning that describes Jesus any better than Jehovah saves? Now, Jesus could have been named Joe. He could have been named Benjamin. They could have named him Peter. They could have given him all kinds of names. They could have called him Most Holy Priest. Kind of makes you wonder about people who walk around telling you to call them Reverend Doctor, you know. But Jesus took a simple name used over 500 times in the Gospels alone. But it's interesting that once the Gospels are done, other than when the apostles are preaching, the name Jesus virtually disappears from the face of the earth. Now, you got to wonder why. Maybe it's because the name was controversial, and it was. The early Christians felt there was nobody worthy of that name, so they stopped naming their children Joshua, or they stopped naming their children Jesus, because they felt there was nobody who was worthy of that name. But you know what? That name is still controversial today, isn't it? You don't think it is? Try praying in public in the name of Jesus. Try walking through a Muslim country and preaching about Jesus, the Messiah. Try going to some areas and talk about how Jesus is the Messiah who has come, and people will tell you that is not true. Or, here's another one. Try telling people that Jesus is the only way to heaven. You see, the name Jesus is still as controversial today as it was back then. But it's a common name. But it's also a common name for an uncommon man. I want to ask the question, why is Jesus so special? Why is the name Jesus so special? Three reasons. Number one, it is because it is given from heaven. It was a name given by God himself. Look at chapter 1 of Luke. What does it say? The angel says, you will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Mary was told, your son's name will be Jesus. In Matthew chapter 1, the angel told Joseph, your son's name will be called Jesus. This name was not a makeup name by the parents. This name came from heaven and was passed down. Second reason it's a special name is it's a name with divine meaning. I've already told you it means God saves, Jehovah saves. And if you put a name, if you give somebody a name that has a meaning, can there be any greater meaning put on a name than someone whom we now know would give his life for the sins of the world? But there's a third reason, and I like it the way David Jeremiah put it, so it's up on the screen here. God knew what he was doing when he named him Jesus, when he named his son. Jesus means Jehovah saves, or the Lord of salvation, and that is who he is. He is the salvation of the Lord. Jesus is salvation. He's a common name for an uncommon man. He was called Jesus of Nazareth, or Jesus Christ, to delineate or distinguish him from all the other Jesuses that were Joshuas that were running around. Turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. You're in Luke, John, Acts. Okay, Acts chapter 4. I want to start with verse 10. Peter and John have been involved in healing a man. They've been brought before the council. They've been told basically to stop preaching about him, about Jesus. And verse 10, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And here it is. And there is salvation and no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with whom? Jesus. Go back on your own and underline how many times in these short verses Peter uses the name Jesus. You see, that name was special. That name was a divine name. That name was a name that was given from heaven. And it held truth that there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we can be saved. So it was a name rich in meaning. Second of all, it was a name that is rich in honor. John chapter 1, verse 14, and this is my typo that's up here. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, the word became flesh and what? Lived among us. That tells us three things. That tells us that Jesus was touchable, he was approachable, and he was reachable. You see, when God became flesh, he made it possible for us to understand him, at least to a degree. He made it possible for us to reach him, to approach him, and even to touch him. Jesus was ordinary. You know, I think if Jesus lived today and he dared go to the mall, he wouldn't stand out. He wouldn't be wearing all this bling. He would be dressed like us. I don't believe that Jesus would have this entourage protecting him from everybody, handing out a card that says, Reverend Holiness, Angelic Divinity III at your service. Jesus was a common man with an uncommon mission. But you see, that name is rich in honor. Josephus tells us that there were 11 men in the Old Testament with the name of Joshua. And you know what's interesting? And I did not know this until I was studying this. That name is not mentioned until Moses gives it to Hosea, whom we call Joshua, the son of Nun. And many people think Joshua is a perfect picture of Jesus, leading the people into the promised land, leading the people out of the wilderness into the promised land, leading the people into salvation and a new life. But you see, Jesus is known as Jesus of Nazareth, to separate him, to distinguish him from all others. Jesus is known as Jesus the Christ. But there are two more scriptures I want you to see, and then we'll be done. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And it's up on the screen for you if you prefer not to turn in your Bible, but if you want to, it's Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. This is a great passage on the humility of Christ. Look what it says. I'll tell you what, let's read it together, okay? You can read it from your Bible or you can read it from this one up here. Let's read it together. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and under earth, say that sentence again. That confess. Yeah, we did that really well. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There will come a day that it will not matter who you are, what your standing will be, what your ranking will be, what your political party will be, what your position in life will be, how much money you have or don't have, what job you do or don't do, but there will come a day when every one of us will do this. And I don't care how high up on the social strata somebody is. I don't care how much of a billionaire somebody is. They too will be just like us. Because at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess what? Jesus Christ is Lord. Does that not give chills up and down your spine? Now let me have you turn back one book to the book of Ephesians. If you're in Philippians, Ephesians is before it. Begin with verse 20 and read 21. That he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Listen to this. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named. Not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet. And gave him as head over all things to the church. Do you see that? Above every name that is named. Want me to start? How about Bill Gates? Probably one of the richest men in the world. He's above that. Bill Grandy, he's definitely above that. And it doesn't matter who you name. At the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. In fact, Jesus is so important that he's the sole subject of one of the sermons in January. But let me give this thought to you. Salvation is not found in a Baptist church, in a Christian church, in a Church of Christ, a Catholic church, a Methodist church, a Charismatic church, a Pentecostal church. Salvation is found only in Jesus Christ. If you're not trusting that name, then your trust is misplaced. If you're not trusting the name of Jesus, your trust is misplaced. The Gaithers sang a song years and years and years ago. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What's the rest of it? There's something about that name. There's something about that name. I hope that you will go through this Christmas season no longer just looking at the name of Jesus as just a common name, but instead you will realize that it's a name that is rich in meaning. It means what? Jehovah saves. And it was given to him for a specific reason, because it was his mission statement. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And so when Jesus was given that name, Jesus, it was given for a purpose. It was given to remind us he came for us. I don't know if you know Jesus or not. I sure hope you do. Because you see, as I've already said, someday every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know what? How much better to do it now when you want to than to do it later when you may not want to, but will have to. If you don't know Jesus, Today's the day. Don't keep putting him off. Because only in Jesus will you find salvation. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the name Jesus, that it's a simple name of five letters, and yet it's a name that is so packed with meaning and honor. It describes the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world in one five-letter word. It describes the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who went to the cross and died for our sins in one five-letter word. And it shows us your heart that Jehovah saves. It shows us John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Thank you for the name Jesus. If there is somebody here today who has never come to know Jesus as their Savior, impress on their heart that today is the day. And it's only in the name of Jesus will they find salvation. They'll not find it in a church. They'll not find it in a religious philosophy. They'll not find it in a book. They'll find it in the person of Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving us. Work in our hearts and show us the beauty of the name. Because it's in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, that we pray. Amen. Let's stand as we sing this song. If you have a decision to make, I invite you to come.